Blog Talk Greetings. Radio.
Hello and hello. Beloved, this is the end time midnight cry, fulfillment of prophecy, spoken by the servant of the Lord Jesus, Brother Eddie Lee, Chicago. Now, I count it all privilege and a joy to have this opportunity in a nation where God caused me to be born to have this liberty to bless, once bless, America. I am privileged to be born here, brought here by destiny in God. No accident. God, who raised up his servants in every place that he chose for his own cause. So today, I represent the kingdom of God, the Church of Christ, with Elijah message, the last day message, that's speaking to the world, to Israel, and to all churches and all religions. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's coming. Jesus Christ is the Holy Messiah, the Lion of Judea. He's coming. He is the Yeshua HaMashiach, the Holy One of Israel, the risen Lord. So today we acknowledge him. Today, and we pray your ears and understanding would come. We acknowledge the scriptures being fulfilled before our eyes. Many has been overlooked. So today, we'll share with you an important event that has been overlooked by more than we can count the great renowned theologians and prophecy experts of our day, many, many wonderful and great men, and sometimes few women. So we're grateful. Today, we are alive today, and it is God's gift that we live and preserved us for this cause to continue talking about the end time, the last dispensation just before Jesus comes. So we pray that the Lord will enlighten you in the help of the Holy Spirit, and the quickening power of God will open your understanding to the important events that's taking place right before your eyes, because you are living in the broadcast that's speaking about heavenly things and the last day message called the Midnight Cry, Matthew 25. A cry will be made at midnight. This is God's prophetic hand clock, the 12th hour. We're entering to the 12th hour, the last hour, just before the end of the world, we call it, but the end of Satan's rule and man's kingdom being cast down in the kingdom of Christ, rolling forth to fill the earth, as Daniel said. Time of the kingdom of God. Now, beloved, as we talk about the need today, one of the greatest events, just before Jesus come, just before he spoke of this great prophecy being unfolded, and necessity of it preparing a people, a bride, a church, as you would call it, a people to be ready for Christ come, to be prepared to meet him when he comes again in the clouds of glory. By the way, fix your eyes upon the scriptures and search them diligently, and don't take for granted, because you have heard many things, until you search them out. Search them out. It is important that we search the scriptures with all prayers and humility and faith. And those that have the Holy Spirit and are born again have an added advantage, because Christ lives in them, and they can humble themselves and wait upon the light of the Holy Spirit to magnify or to enlighten them to the things that they may not fully understand. One of the events do we need, as they continue from yesterday, Malachi 4 and 5, behold, day coming. This is one of the scriptures that seemed to be and has not fully been understood in the days of the Jews. Neither has it been understood in the day of the church, the age that we're living in, called the church age, now going to the age of the kingdom of God. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 24 concerning his end time, when his disciples, his apostles, wanted to know, give them a sign of when he shall return. And he began to unfold the hidden mysteries about the coming. And prior to his coming, he gave them many signs, signaling that he would be coming. The one thing, and the one thing that has been hid from all men, the one mystery that will not be given to us, one particular fulfillment of Scripture will not be given to anyone. Jesus said in Matthew 24 that not this mystery or this hidden mystery is with the Father, that no man, no angel, not a son of man, no one knows the very hour. No one will be given to know the very day nor the very hour that Christ will return. So that mystery, we can just lay that aside, because nobody's going to know the date, the exact date, or hour, or day the Lord coming. Yet, tell us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul said, we can know the times and the seasons, but not the day nor the hour. Here, beloved, the church, who are the church born or the redeemed church, can know the time and the seasons, not the day nor hour. That is not going to be given to any, not even the angels know that, not even the Son of Man, only the Father. So that's another mystery, only the Father, not even the Son, nor the angels, nor any man, nor the day or the hour that the Lord returns again for his saints and to his saints and to reign with his saints. By the way, there is many things that he is unfolding in the last days, which was mystery that not understood by the prophets and Isaiah, but he said to Daniel about many scriptures in Daniel 9 and Daniel 7, when the angel spake to Daniel, and speaking about the end time prophecy, he unfolds certain things to him. But he told him that certain things would be sealed until the end time. That means that God will not reveal them in Daniel's day. The full understanding of certain understanding of Scripture would be understood in the latter day, in the church age, in the Holy Ghost day. When Jesus come, he will begin to, before he come, he will reveal and unfold the hidden mysteries of the Scripture. He began with the Apostle Paul and Peter to unfold much. But here, in their day, the church was overthrown, and prophecy was spoken about how the church of Jesus Christ would be overthrown, would be apostatized, heretics, it would be tread down, and something else would take the place of the real church. In Revelation 12 and Revelation 13, 16, 17, it tells you about two women. It describes 12th chapter, the real picture of the true and the living saints, the living church of Jesus Christ is the woman in Revelation 12. But then we see another woman who pretending to be the real church would take its place, and it appeared to be called a whore or harlot, talking about a false religion church that would take its place of the real church after it was apostatized for 1260 years, Daniel called it. The saints will be overthrown and tread down. Actually, 1260 days, but a day is in prophetic turn, is a day is for a year. So it'll be 1260 years when the true church of Jesus Christ, spoken about Peter, Paul, and Daniel, prophets, that it would be overthrown and apostatized. And that Revelation 12 shows you the true church, the 12 stars and a woman. That's talking about the true church and the bride of Christ. No, it's not Israel. It's not Mary. Mary is not the woman. I mean, I don't know how they come up with these things. But some people, that's why you need to search and seek and study and humble yourself. And then search, then ask the Holy Spirit and ask Jesus. If any man lack wisdom, James said, let him ask of God. So let me settle down to the apostasy of the church will last 1260 years, 1260 years. A day for a year, a prophetic term. So when that ended, after it ended in the latter day, the recovery and the restoration of the gospel and the church, for the gates of hell would overthrow it for 1260 years. But Jesus said in the 16th chapter of Matthew that the gates of hell will not prevail. So she would only tread down the enemy for 1260 days, she would not prevail, because the Lord will restore his church and his kingdom, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against her. So here we are down to the end time. to the last generation, the 20th century and 21st century, just before all of these signs are being revealed, all the prophets coming, spoken of this day, are being unfolded before our eyes. So the disciples asked him, what are the signs of your coming, your return? And one of the biggest signs that has been overlooked, the biggest witness that many, many good Christians, saved, redeemed, and prophecy experts have seen to many of them have overlooked, that one of the greatest events that's going to announce the coming of Christ and prepare a people and warn Israel and warn the world. Jesus spoke to Malachi, the last prophet spoken in our abridged version that we call the Bible, the abridged version, Malachi, of the Bible, the book we refer to as the Bible. Of course, it was only a modern-day term about the books being compiled and canonized and put together, and they're called the Bible. But before, it was just scripture, holy writ, a document of what the prophet says. But we are blessed today that we have the abridged version in our languages, and most of the people in the world have been blessed to have the Bible in their own language. That is one of the key blessings in the last days that will dissolve a lot of darkness, a lot of deception, that every man can read and know the Bible practically in the end time. God will raise up technology where everyone can have the Bible in their own English. Almost everyone, not everyone, but almost every nation will have the Bible. And it's the process is going on now where many, many people in the four ways is having the Bible in their language through battery radio or satellite, or people pioneer going and risking their lives to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. So here we are in the last generation, Matthew 24 and 25, last generation. Jesus spoke about an important event that has been looked before his coming. Now, when I talk about Jesus, that's in your language, English. But in his original Greek or Aramaic or Hebrew, it's called Yeshua, Yasha. And so don't get upset because you think everybody in the whole world came here speaking English. No, English is a latter-day language talking to Caucasians, Romans, Anglo-Saxon people. They began to speak a language we refer to as the English, the King's language from England. But most of the world in Jesus' day, there was no such thing as English. Most of the world and the nations, Hebrew was the original language of the Israelite people when they was broken up, began to speak into Greek because they were colonized and they was controlled and dominated by a Greeks and then Romans, then the Syrians and all this. But the language, the original language was in Aramaic, Hebrew, and later on Latin and Greek. So English-speaking people, don't get the idea that Jesus was speaking in English or the prophet was speaking in English. No. Jesus' name is an English version of the original text of what his name was called Yeshua, HaMashua, the Holy Messiah of Israel. Now, don't get upset, you English-speaking people, Americans mostly and Westerners, that the Bible was translated out of the original text, Hebrew and Aramaic, from the Greek. The Old Testament is translated out of the Greek, the New Testament, I mean. The Old Testament mostly came from Aramaic and Hebrew. And so the New Testament we have in the Bible has come out of the Greek language mostly. Hallelujah. Jesus on the cross began of an Aramaic term because the Jews were under certain dominant controlling power, so they had to speak their language, Greek-speaking Jews and Aramaic-spoken Jews, and whoever was controlling them at the time or ruling them, they had to submit to their language too. So here we go in the last days, beloved. Where are we? The last century, more than last century, we're in the last generation. Matthew 24 tells us, signifies this generation to not all pass away to the Son of Man come in his glory. What generation is that? That generation is talking about when Israel is planted again and won control, and Israel is planted back into control of Jerusalem where they had been scattered for 2,500 years, God would put them back in the land, as Daniel 9 and Daniel 7 talks about. He will restore them back as a people called his chosen people, Israel, in Jerusalem. Now, when did this completely take place? 1967. From this generation onward. Now, Israel became a nation in 1948, recognized by the world in 1948, by the United Nations and America, a sovereign nation back in the land. But she didn't have fully control of Jerusalem, the old city, until 1967 war. From this 1967, this generation, speaking from prophets, from that time that Jerusalem is the pinpoint where certain things you know had been spoken by Daniel. 1967, Daniel said, when you see that happen, in Daniel chapter, he called it the 2300 days. Daniel called it 2300 days. When that's 2300 days, which is 1967, the Six-Day War, that pinpoints, beloved, a generation prophecy that from that generation onward, what, one generation? Well, some people, what is a generation? Well, a generation could be, as some thought, was 40, some thought it, in some areas was 60 or 70 years. But he said, from that generation, people that's born during that time, glory to God. Well, people that's born in that generation from 1967 onward could live, what, 60, 70 years. Oh, yeah, or 80 years. That generation shall, and during that generation, people will see the coming of Christ. There are people from 1967 will be still living. Hallelujah, when Christ comes. He indicates that from the time of Jerusalem sets his feet back again in the land, that from 1967, you were born 67, in that generation, you will, might be, most good many of you will be living when Christ shall return. Matthew 24 said, this generation shall not all pass away. But then during this generation, from onward, the gospel of the kingdom would be preached. The gospel of redemption had been preached by many church people before then, but not the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom of God. Well, here we are in the time Jesus said, Matthew 24 and 14, I think it is, he shall not return until the gospel of the kingdom is taken to all the earth, the ends of the earth. So, has the gospel of the kingdom been taken to all nations order? No. Not this day, 2019, it has not. So what has the last cry in Matthew 25, Matthew, the last message of the last warning, the last trumpet to be sound of preparing of people and a warning of the world and gathering of Israel? What's the last message? Midnight cry, Matthew, a cry is made. Now this cry goes to the church. Because the church has defaulted in many traditions and many errors and sins during this last generation. I know a lot of God has begun to move the church since the 1900s when he began to bring in a revival called the Duke Street Revival. He began to recover his church. And from that time, from the early 1800s, 1879, God began to recover the fallen, broken church. Hallelujah, Jesus Christ. And we see that the begin and the what? 1879, we can start at that point, 70s, where Cain Ridge Revival. You can write that down. Look it up, Cain Ridge Revival in Kentucky. From that time, a busting forth of 1903 in Los Angeles, a very, very important time in God's time in recovering his people, called the Azusa Street Revival in L.A. And if you see that, that's where most of all the full gospel and Pentecostals, churches in the round about the world basically came from the Azusa Street, most of them that you see today. The Great Awakening, the great revival and recovering of his church, but that's not the end of it, because they had a part in recovering, being given certain truth from Martin Luther, from all the way down to Alexander, Zoe, Moody, who is Billy Sunday, Spurgeon, Finney, Jonathan Edwards, the Moravians, turned down to the Wesley Boys, to John Williams. Then we got on down to the Azusa Street Revival. And then we got to the, down at the Azusa Street Revival, got into the Healing Revival of the 40s. And then we got into the part where the latter rain becomes in the 60s, and the vineyard move of God, and the charisma holding up. But those are not the sum total of everything, because there's a cry has to be made at midnight. Those things are revealed in the 11th hour. Now we're moving to the 12th hour. What's going to happen? What is the Bible saying? Well, I'm going to tell you something that we have overlooked, the saints spoken of in Malachi. We say, well, we're living in the New Testament. Well, you may be living in the New Testament, but everything that the prophets had said has not all come from the past. Got some news for you. You live in the New Testament and Jesus' blood and redemption. I want you to know that all things that the prophets had said must all come to pass. And there are things in Daniel and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Hosea has not yet been fulfilled. Ah, there's things even in Genesis that Moses spoke has not yet been fulfilled. Oh, Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy what the prophets, nor destroy the law of the prophets. When he came, he said, I came to fulfill. What did he fulfill when he first came? He fulfilled the part concerning his first coming. Jesus did not fulfill the prophecy concerning his second coming because most of the Jews did not know that he had a second coming. They misunderstood the scripture. They thought there was one coming. But when Jesus first came, there was on a veil of darkness, and the Jews had not understood until the day of the Holy Spirit came. Then the eyes began to come open to the real, deep, long meaning of the prophecy about the second coming of Christ and, I got a surprise for you, second coming of Elijah. And this last move of the Holy Ghost, which is called the latter rain. Those three events must happen. That's what? The midnight cry, the 12th hour. Well, I know you think you've been told that the only thing next to come to pass is rapture. Well, you're going to be surprised when you search the scriptures and deeply in the Holy Ghost that there is not going to be a rapture. That's not a teaching that the apostles nor Jesus taught. He did talk about his second coming. But I'm going to digest and fast forward to this great event concerning just prior to Jesus, the harvest of millions and so, and the last wave of the Holy Ghost, the last move of the last revival that Joel the prophet said, the former, modern, and the latter rain. We're living in a time where the triple move of the Holy Ghost, the triple rain of the Holy Ghost. Remember, Elisha told Elijah, the prophet, oh, I want a double portion of your spirit. Well, we're living in the day where we're going to need a double portion of Elijah's spirit. Hallelujah to Jesus. Maybe the triple portion. Because Joel, the prophet, said the modern rain, the former rain, and the latter rain. Now, figuratively speaking, practically, it was talking about that in Israel, they had three seasons of rain to get their crops. But the picture that Joel was talking about, it's not just talking about the physical, actually, rain. He's talking about a dual effect of the spiritual rain that also would come in the latter day, called the spirit and power of Elijah. That's when we know we're living in the 12th hour, when the power of the Holy Ghost began to move and move over the earth like it never has been. This move of the Holy Ghost is going to be greater than it was in the book of Acts. It's going to be greater than the day of Peter and James and John. It's going to be the last move. The harvest and the mighty power of God is going to be greater than it was in the early church. But one of the events that's going to usher in is an event found that this prophecy has not yet been fulfilled. Like I told you, saints, that I can go through the scripture and tell you that prophecy that Isaiah spoke of has not been fulfilled. Many prophecies are yet to be fulfilled in Daniel. Not fulfilled, Hosea, Jeremiah, and Genesis. I can go and show you the scriptures that they have not all been fulfilled. You may want to believe this common word that you hear on the TV. All is fulfilled, the rapture, the next event. No, baby. I'm sorry, they're in error about that. Oh, you said I could be too. Yes, I could be. Yes, I could. I'm not perfect in understanding, but that I do understand, I will speak on. That which I believe, I'll tell you this is what I believe. But what I know But truly revelation, pure revelation, I will say this I know from the Lord. But this I don't know, I will say I believe. Hallelujah. And men have another error. They go off into their own opinion, which is called tradition and thinking of men. By the way, in this is a great day, the God Almighty, great Jehovah Yahweh, as spoken in the Hebrew text, El Shaddai, Jesus was the Word made flesh. Jesus, in John chapter 1, was the living Word that spoke to Moses and all the people, was the Word spokesman. Now, we're not going to get into that part of it, because there's a controversy among Christians about certain scriptures, but this last event is going to clear up all the confusion and all the division between Christianity about, did God mean this and God mean this? Did the Baptist say this and the Protestant divided over this and Lutherans over there and the Church of God is divided between the Church of God and the Apostolic and the Faith Movement and the Latter Rain and the Deliverance Movement? They're divided on some points of the truth. But this last prophet that's going to speak going to clear up all that confusion. Well, let's get back to the last great event. One of the last great events spoken before Christ's return and a warning and a preparation. You notice in the scripture that in Matthew 24, he also tells you that it's going to be like a day of Noah, as it was in the days of Noah. Well, what took Noah? That was the last warning in Noah's day. Remember, it was the last warning by a particular man chosen for the deliverance in his day. And Jesus said it's going to be just like in the days of Noah. There was a particular warning from heaven for a man, for a people chosen. But you said all the churches are preaching the gospel, but they don't have this last warning. This is a specific fulfillment of a prophecy. The last trumpet, who has the last message? Well, brother, we got it. We read the Bible. We got it. No, you don't. Brother, you don't got it, because you got to take time to understand the prophecy being fulfilled. What is this last prophecy that's spoken of so important? What are you saying, brother? What are you saying, sir? Well, I'm going to read a part of it to you, and you don't have to search it out and say, I don't know what I'm talking about. My bishop, he knows all about prophecy. My apostle, he knows everything. I said, okay, if you believe that all everybody that you know, they may understand certain parts of scripture given directly, but they don't understand all of it, brother. Yes, your apostle may have a great gift, and your bishop may have this, and they may, God has been giving them some good and wonderful thing, but they don't have complete understanding, perfect understanding of all things in the scripture. And that I don't even have to take no track on that. When you hear a man, a woman say that, I understand all the Bible, You can just quit talking and go on by your business. I understand all the scripture, brother and sister. I understand. They may understand the gospel. They may understand the gospel about salvation, redemption, reconciliation, justification. They may understand redemption, salvation, sanctification, and righteousness in the New Testament, but they don't understand all the scriptures that has to be fulfilled. Have been given to them. Some of them have certain parts of it, and they think they got all of it. Just like when people get certain gifts of healing, they think they know everything about healing. No, they don't. They know only in part. Other people got a part of prophecy on this. They only got it in part. God only, we get in part. First Corinthians, what? Paul said we know in part and we understand in part. Then he says in Isaiah 28, the Lord reveals to each dispensation what he wants to reveal, line upon line, precept, here, there, and letter there. And now we're coming to the dispensation where we're to know all of the plan of God concerning man, concerning the redemption of man. It's called the restoration of all things. We're recovering that which had been hidden, that which had been hindered from the traditions and men. Now the Lord says he's going to clarify it in the last days. Daniel said the book's going to be unsealed, and we are going to understand perfectly what God meant about the restoration and the kingdom coming before he comes. All right, let's go to Malachi, the last book in the abridged version of the book that we call the Bible. If I would tell you some things that this in this Bible that a lot of people have read and read and read and studied, and good and wonderful saved people have not yet come to understanding. Paul prayed a prayer in Ephesians about coming to understanding and enlightenment, and the Holy Spirit would lead us into all truth. Well, see, the Holy Spirit said he will come and lead you into all truth, but he doesn't give it in every dispensation. It's according to a person's faith and commitment that the Lord began to reveal certain things to them. The Azusa Street Revival, the Spurgeon and Finney and Wesley, they got certain truth. Sunday, Judson, Hudson, Seymour, they got certain revelations of certain truth. Not all of it. I know you think. Church of God, we got it all, brother. Church of God, we got it all, brother. The Assembly of God, we got it all. Then the apostolic faith, different. We got it all, brother. We got everything. Then we go on the line to different ones. No, that's pride. That's pride speaking, ego. That's secular, religious. That's why they are divided. You know why churches are divided? Because they don't have perfect knowledge in certain truth things. And so they're divided. Why did so many division in Christianity? When the Lord only had one church and they were unified in the beginning. Because they're divided on what thus said the Lord is written. But this is going to come a clarification in this scripture about the restoration of those things which they are divided by. I said, this is the time that God's going to clarify all the decisions that Christians divided, and also about the false religions that is in every culture on the world. Malachi says, what is this great event that needs to be known, brother? Well, some people may call me some other names. That's okay. As long as you know where you stand with God and you're convicted from on high, you don't have to fear. You don't have to stand in pride. I don't understand. I don't ask you for no money. I'm not begging you for no money. I'm not here to scam you, bring you no sand or no feather and hang over your door and bring me this money. No, I don't ask you for any money. Peter said, freely I have received, freely I give. Now, what do you mean by that? That there is no charge to the work of God, to the kingdom of God, to the gifts of God. Anybody that charges you. Now, here's the difference between the laborer's labor is worthy of his hire. The men of God, the women of God, God promised that they would need to have money to take the gospel, to take care of their family and their lives. But there's no charge to you being healed, delivered, or saved, or there's a certain amount for you to get this blessing. Jesus didn't teach that. The apostles didn't teach. You can sow a seed to the gospel. And sow a seed to the men of God if God give you for the promotion of the gospel. But there is no charge. People that are charging you, they got to have 25,000 before they come preach or reveal this truth. Charging you. Putting a charge on the gospel. When the Lord said he will be their provider, he called up, when I will provide, Jesus never asked for begging. The apostles in the old days never asked. They never begged. They never had a gain. He told them, two for two. He said, go out. Did you lack anything? He said, no, we lack nothing, Lord. They went out in faith. He said, look, don't worry about it. I am the provider. If you go do what I say, I will provide. You don't have to get no scam. You ain't got to come up with no gimmicks to get money. You ain't got to put no programs to get the money. He said, I will provide. He is the provider. No scams, no games, no charges. Well, send me this, and I'll give you this blessing. Well, find that where Jesus and the apostles did that. He did talk that you can sow a seed to help the people of God or to help the poor or help the ministry of the gospel or the work of God. You can sow a seed willingly. And the churches collect tithes, 1/10, for the work of God. Hallelujah. Well, I don't want to get all off of this money thing because I don't ask for any of the money, even though it takes money to do all the work of God. It takes money in the earth to live. Yes, that's true. But I want to get to this event, the coming of Elijah, the prophet. Malachi speaks in particular to, have you ever thought about why is the last book in what we refer to as the last testament prophet before Jesus came called Malachi, four chapters. Why is it those four chapters contain very, very important events concerning the end time, as well as when Jesus first came? If you start off and read in Malachi, you'll come to two prophetic events in Malachi 3 about the messenger of the covenant, and Malachi 4 specific talks about the messenger of the covenant and his role as Elijah, the last prophet. In this reading this scripture, many people have misunderstood that the prophecy in Malachi, most of the is talking about the second coming, not the first coming. Most of it in that prophecy is talking about the last days, the last generation. If you go through Malachi, there's some parts talking about the first coming of Christ, but most of the prophecy in Malachi is talking about the last day in the last dispensation, just before Christ comes. The messenger of the covenant. John came as the messenger of the covenant, but he only fulfilled certain events. He did not fulfill all of the events in Malachi. I said he did not fulfill all the events in Malachi. So the Elijah must come again. There must be a second coming of Elijah, just like a second coming of Christ, and a second move of the Holy Ghost, and a third move of the Holy Ghost, and a recovery of the church as it was fallen. The church was fallen, had to be recovered for the second time. The law of Moses was broken, and the law of Moses had to go back and get it the second time. Moses had to go back and get there's a second, always a second or a third event. The law of Moses was given, but it was broken. He had to go back and get it a second time. The church was broken and overthrown. It had to be recovered the second time. The gospel had to be restored the second time. That's the pattern of prophecy in scripture. Is the second and third. It's always in two or threes. So the second time, he's going to send Elijah again to fulfill the full meaning of the scripture in the second coming. That's what Malachi said. Behold, the day cometh. We're in that day. 2019, right here, we're entering into that day. Malachi 4, Malachi 3. We're in that era. We're in that dispensation. We're in that period of time right now. You can search the scriptures in humility and say, I don't know, Lord. My bishop said this and my apostle said it, but I want to know from the confirmation from heaven for sure. You have access, if you're born again and saved, Ephesians 1 and Romans 5 say you have access to the throne of God. In fact, Paul says in Philippians, in Hebrews, he said, come boldly to the throne of grace, seeking mercy, grace. We have access in the New Testament straight to the throne of God. Every saved, born again, Holy Ghost filled, have access to the throne of the Father, to the throne of God. No excuses. No excuses. We have Bibles in our languages. Everyone can have a Bible in their own language. No excuses. Everyone have access to the Holy Ghost being saved, be born again. They don't even have to. They can be in a church setting, in a religion. They can be in their home and get saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. Many people have. I'm not saying you're not supposed to be in church. Yes, you're supposed to be in the body of believers. That's the will of God. But I'm saying, if I want to be saved, redeemed, I can be walking down the street in a foxhole or outside of a tavern. I could be laying in the alley, or I could be a drunkard, a drug addict, an alcoholic, and don't have no hope. But in a jail, Christ can come in that jail, wherever you are. There's no limitation. You could be in India and they're calling on the true God, and India could be trawling on the true God. And I don't know the true God calling, and Jesus will answer. And he's answering many people all over the world. He's appearing to Indians, he's appearing to Arabs, appearing to Muslims, showing himself that he is the Messiah, the Redeemer. He's appearing to Chinese people, and there's a great revival going in China, greater revival than America. I don't even know hardly anything much about the great move of hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Chinese are coming to to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, being filled with the Holy Ghost and working miracles and signs. Underground church in China. The underground church. Many of them being killed for their faith in China. Many of them being put in jail, whooped and beaten. This great move of the Holy Spirit under the Chinese people. Now, once America had the greatest move of the Holy Ghost to take to the world, but now she has fallen, going into darkness. So a voice must come at midnight. A cry must come. Malachi says, behold, I'll send you Elijah before that great and dreadful day. You say, well, didn't Jesus say that John the Baptist had that in Matthew 17? Did Jesus was John with the Elijah? Yeah, that Jesus was right. John, the one we call the Baptist, had the spirit and power of Elijah, but he did not fulfill everything, just like Jesus did not fulfill everything at his first coming. Just like the Jews miss it, the church is missing it, because Jews missed it. When John the Baptist came and said the Messiah was coming as the Lamb of God, Jesus came as the Lamb of God the first time. Second time, he's coming as the Lion of Judea to rule and judge as King of Kings and Lord of Lords over all nations. John the Baptist came in the spirit and power of Elijah, Luke 1:17. But he did not complete his mission because it was not his time. The second coming of Elijah and the second coming of Christ and the second move of the Holy Spirit. And the second recovery of the gospel in its fullness has to come. Oh, you think just because you got the Bible, the Bridge Version, that you got it all. Those written pages, you think you got the fullness of the gospel. You don't need to be restored. I got it, baby. You know what they, pride and ego is a battle with all human beings, even Christians and other religious people and business people. Pride, ego, vanity. Brother, I know everything. I done read the book through and through, 66 over and over again. You can't tell me nothing. That's probably true. God can't tell you nothing. Yeah, that's probably true. I know all about this. I know all about healing. I know all about the end time. I know about the rapture. I know about the walk of. I know all about it. No use in telling me anything. Glad to meet you and walk away from you. You got it all. But the foolish virgins in Matthew, they were talking about five was foolish, five wise. Now, this was talking about the church world, the latter-day church world. The five, the ten virgins was talking about the Christian church world. The foolish virgins had it all. They received it all. There was nothing to be added to them. They all the lambs. They had all they need to take them to the coming, the end of the Lord. They said, we got it all. We don't need them more. There's nothing else to happen. The foolish virgin said it. But the wise, a cry was made at midnight. When did the cry come? Not at the 11th hour, not the 9th hour, not the 3rd hour, 6th hour. There was a cry at midnight, 12th hour. Get your prophetic clock. Roll it around. We just hit the 12th hour. Oh, then what is going to be happening at 12th hour? A cry is coming. Where's it going to come? From heaven. Surely it's not going to come where people are in darkness and disarray. Even the Christian world are not completely established in all truth, the error, tradition, opinions of men that divide them. And darkness will be filled the earth and wickedness on every side. As Isaiah 60 said, and Joel chapter 2, gross darkness, and nations in array and confusion. Coming to an end. Coming to an end. Malachi says that Elijah has to come before that dreadful day, and what he's going to do is turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and children to the father. At least if that doesn't happen, the earth is going to be smitten with curse, which is blindness. Majority of the world is full of unbelief. They don't believe the Bible. Jesus said that one of the signs of the end would be unbelief.
People don't believe the Bible. Majority of Christians, a Christian nation, turn their back. They don't believe the Bible. Interview the people. Some church people don't believe all the Bible. Some church people don't believe all the scriptures. They only believe certain parts that concerning their denomination. I said concerning their denomination, they don't, brother, I don't believe in no sanctification and reconciliation. I don't believe in you overcome sin. I don't believe you get filled. I don't believe God heals, delivers, he don't speak. I don't believe the angels come. I don't believe none of this, brother. Yeah. Some don't believe in the born-again experience. So you find out that even many Christians who basically believe that Jesus died on the cross, there's many other things they do not believe. And they're cut off by their religious traditions. They could be good people, wonderful people, nice people, loving, caring people. They ought to be like the Ethiopian in the 8th chapter of Acts. And Philip, evangelist, saw this chariot, this Ethiopian reading the scriptures, and he joined them and said, what are you reading? He said, I'm reading the prophet Isaiah, where he says, he was wounded for our treasure and bruised for my iniquity, and I don't understand this. And Philip joined and said, let me help you to understand. And he began to tell him about Jesus had died and rose again, had come, and that he had fulfilled that scripture in Isaiah 53, and the Egyptian received it. He didn't say, listen, you know who I am? I'm a precious God and next to Queen of Sheba from Egypt. You get off of here. You can't tell me nothing. I'm too smart. I'm too intelligent. But here it is, common man, Philip, evangelist, who spoke of the risen Christ and joined the Ethiopian man and opened his eyes. Some people in the place where their eyes can't be opened, they shut as tight with their, I know it all, brother. I got it all. Can you not hear in Matthew 25 the foolish virgin saying that I got enough oil, I got enough this, I don't need any more word of God, I don't need enough of the Spirit, I don't need enough wisdom and power, I don't need enough faith, I don't need none, I don't need no cleansing, I don't need no pure. I got it all, brother. But fire was foolish and fire was. Where the cry comes, Elijah comes in the 11th chapter of Matthew's and the 17th chapter. Jesus is confronted with his disciples asking him about this prophecy in Malachi. And Jesus explained to him in part that a part of this scripture was going to be fulfilled presently in his first coming. But here's where the stopper comes. When they read the scriptures, what Jesus said, many theologians miss the part that talks about the future fulfillment, the future part when Elijah must come fulfilled it. And just like the Jews miss the second part that Christ won't come in the latter days, the church world misses that Elijah had another mission, just like Jesus is coming back. They missed the part where Jesus said Elijah will first come and restore all things. That's the future. When Jesus spoke that, it was talking about the future. Then he said John has already come. That was what everybody messed up when he said Jesus had already, that Elijah had come when John was there. Elijah had come, yes. John was the spirit and power, but he did not fulfill, beloved, he did not fulfill all that's spoken in Malachi, because it was the fulfillment of the latter day. Jesus told him that Elijah had come, and that's John, he had got his head cut off, but then he spoke about Elijah shall come and restore all things. When is real strength? When was all things be restored? When all things going to be restored? Jesus said there was two parts, present and future. Present to that prophecy in Malachi, present in Jesus' answer to disciples in John 17, verse 10 to 13. And he explained to them in the 11th chapter, when he asked them about the fulfillment of Elijah, prophet, that prophet and Christ, he makes them to understand in the 11th chapter of Matthew that the greatest prophet ever born of a woman was John. Now, most of you will say Elijah of old and Moses and Joshua, they were the greatest prophet. But Jesus said, John, the son of Zechariah, in the spirit and power of Elijah in his first coming, that there has not risen, that has not risen or will risen a greater prophet than John, called Baptist. Why did he say that? Have you ever thought about why Jesus said there's no greater prophet than John the Baptist in the 11th chapter? And then he added something else. He was more than a prophet. Well, what's more than a prophet? If Moses was a great prophet and Elijah of old and Joshua and all Jeremiah, they were great prophets, why is it that John the Baptist is referred to by Jesus as the greatest, not just because he baptized Jesus in Jordan? That didn't make him no. I mean, God could have chosen any other righteous man, that because he baptized Jesus in Jordan, that's not the greatness of it. No, that was wonderful. It was a part, but that's not the greatest honor that Jesus gave John the Baptist. There is not risen, there has not come a greater prophet than John, for he is the greatest prophet ever born of a woman. Then Jesus took it a step further. He is the messenger of the covenant. And then he tells you another thing. He says he's more than a prophet. This John has a mission in the second time to restore all things. That's what he's talking about. Now, many people try to make Jesus a prophet, but Jesus was not a prophet. No, Jesus was not a prophet. Nowhere did Jesus say he was a. They said Jesus was a prophet. They spoke that he was a prophet, but Jesus never revealed that he was a prophet. And you can go through the scripture and find out that he was not a prophet. Neither was he that prophet in Deuteronomy. That is not talking about Jesus. That prophet in Deuteronomy 18 is talking about the Elijah would be do a work just like Moses and Elijah of old. That prophet. John coming in the spirit and power in the second coming is that prophet more than just a prophet, a messenger of the covenant. We're about to enter into an age where we're going to understand, if you humble yourself, and before God, before Jesus. You know one thing, Jeremiah 33, chapter 1, 33 and verse 1 says, Jeremiah says, seek me, call upon me, seek me, cry out, and I will show you great and mighty things that you know it not. Mighty and great things that you know not. Now the Bible says in Amos 3, chapter says, God would do nothing on earth except he revealed it to his servant, the prophet. Everything that takes place in the earth, he has to give a warning to his a prophet. Before any judgment, for any destruction, a prophet of God has to speak and uncover it. Maybe an apostle that may have, apostle or bishop may have a prophetic color. But listen here. The last prophet must speak. Jesus never was a prophet. So they try to say he was a prophet, a great prophet. They refer to him as a great prophet. But scriptures say he was not. We're coming to the end where that prophet, Malachi 4 and 5, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 20 to 22, is going to have to speak during the days of the restitution and restoration of all things. Restitution, restoration of all things. Acts chapter 3. Verse 20 to 22, when Peter preached up on the day of Pentecost, he spoke about the end time, a restitution of all things. That's talking about Malachi being fulfilled and Elijah should come in the last days. And he would speak a word to the whole world, to all the church world at midnight. He would speak a word for Israel, their deliverance. He speak a word to the nation and to America. To all the world, the restored gospel, we're refining fire. Are you ready for the last message? If you think you're already ready, your oil and your lamp is full and you speak in tongues and you jump and you shout, and that's great. If that comes from God, I believe in the move of the Holy Spirit to do the street revival. And the healing revival of the 40s. Oh, the Moravian move of the Lord and the Judah Street revival and the latter rain in the 60s and the vineyard move of God. But then must come the last cry. Elijah must first come.
Well, you don't believe in the scriptures, huh? Close the book then.
Do let the Jews don't search these things out because they knew it all. Don't humble yourself and search them out. Let your pride and ego. I had a lot of it, so I know about it. Satan brought a lot to the fallen mankind. When he fell, he fought a lot of pride in us. That's how he got messed up in heaven. He was lifted up in pride. Satan was got lifted up in pride. Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, this cherubim got lifted up in pride. He wanted to take God's place on the throne and rule. Well, what would rule in us, pride or humility to seek, to search these things? The midnight cry, a trumpet, a cry, a messenger will come. Revelation 14 and 6 speaks about that. Why don't you search these things, beloved? It's up to you. Jesus is coming, but Elijah must first come and speak to get a people and a bride ready to awaken, to warn the world. Israel must be gathered, the church, the bride made ready. So it is. It is written without excuse. Yes, he loves you. He cares about you. He's coming. May the Lord bless you real good. In every place that you seek to know that Jesus Christ is the Lord, the King of Kings of Revelation, the Lord of Lords who coming to rule. A kingdom that shall roll forward, have dominion over all nations, reigning with his bride. Reigning in the government of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is. Yes, we caught up to heaven, but we come in to reign with him over his kingdom. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Elijah must first come and restore all things. Today, you can call on Jesus and be saved. Just call on Acts 4 and 12, Joel 2:32, Matthew 11:25, Romans 10, verse 9 to 13. Wherever nation, whatever person you are, he's ready to come into your life to make a change. Love you. Get ready. America, return back to the Bible. Before you run back to the gospel, America, before the judgment sweep you off of the earth, the remnant shall stand. The remnant of God standing in the holy place. We love you, Brother Lee. Chicago saying, this is the day, the midnight cry. Hear the word of the Lord.